Let us also learn to distinguish between knowledge of experience and knowledge of being and substance. Knowledge of experience is not the same as knowledge of being and substance. What is the main difference? Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God spoke to the people of Israel. He manifested his presence in that context. And he spoke to the people of Israel. They experienced God's presence. They saw the manifestation of God's presence and they experienced God speaking to them. Exodus 20, verses 18 to 21. Exodus 20, verses 18 to 21. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes, and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. The people experienced the presence of God. They had knowledge of experience, but they did not have a meaningful personal knowledge of God. They could recognize that for Moses, it was different. Moses could come near to God. Moses could relate with God meaningfully, speak to God, listen to him, and communicate on his behalf. But the people were fearful. They perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. They trembled and stood at a distance. They did not have the freedom to come near to God. They were afraid of him. They said, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, lest we die. Why would they die if God were to speak to them? It is because they recognized that God was holy, but they were not. They were afraid of God, but they knew that Moses could come near to God. They could see that God appreciated Moses, that Moses had found favor before God. But why did Moses find favor before God? Was it because he was intelligent? Or was it because God simply chose him for no specific reason? It's clear from the scriptures that Moses found favor before God because of the quality of his heart. Moses loved God, and Moses loved the people. God could trust Moses because he saw in Moses a man of worth. He was humble. He was willing to sacrifice himself for the sake of others. He cared, and he cared deeply for the people. And he cared very deeply for the honor of God. He wanted God's purposes to be accomplished. And so the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Moses could approach because his knowledge of God was not just a knowledge of experience, Yes, he did experience God, but he had come also to develop the knowledge of being and substance. There was a transformation in his being, in his character, in his life. There was a development of a relationship with God of quality. There was moral and spiritual substance developed in his heart, in his life. We can see this also manifested in the life of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 12. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. The Apostle Paul said, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. The Apostle Paul had now come to know God personally and deeply. There was knowledge of being and substance. It was not just of experience. It was not just awareness of things. Prior to this, he had knowledge of God. He knew the God of the Bible. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He knew what God had said in the Old Testament. He was quite knowledgeable as a Pharisee. But he did not truly know God in this way. In fact, he was persecuting the Lord Jesus. He was going against the purposes of God. He was supposed to have a zeal for God, but in reality, he was fighting against what God was seeking to accomplish. The Apostle Paul had some knowledge. He had awareness of what God had done for the nation of Israel. He had awareness of the laws of God, but he did not have a personal knowledge of God arising from a genuine and deep repentance and trust in God and commitment to him to walk in his ways, in humility and in love. But now it was different. Now he was able to teach Timothy. He says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. He was now a prisoner for the Lord Jesus' sake. And he was not ashamed, and he was telling Timothy not to be ashamed. But he says, join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. The Apostle Paul appreciated the meaningfulness of suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He did not shrink from it. He did not run away from it. But he was prepared to go through it because it was meaningful. And he then elaborated and explained what God had done. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He had come to appreciate this. He had come to know this in his life, in his heart. And he gave his life to transmit this message. He says, "For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things." The Apostle Paul had come to know God personally and deeply, and because of that, he was prepared to give himself to suffer for these things. He was not ashamed, for he said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." It is worth it. It is worth it to give up his life for God. It is worth it because he knew that God was trustworthy, that God was good. He knew that he could always depend on him. So if we want to pursue knowledge, let us learn from the Apostle Paul. Let us learn from Moses to develop knowledge that is built into our being, that becomes part of us. There are many people who say, "I've heard so many sermons, I've read so many things, how can I remember them all? When I hear one, I forget the rest. And there are so many to listen to, I cannot remember them." If we live our lives just trying to remember all the things that we have heard, this indeed will be a big problem. As time passes by, the more you hear, the more difficult it will be. We need an encyclopedia to contain all these things, to remember the things that we have heard. But this is not the way that God wants us to learn. It is not this kind of acquiring of knowledge. God wants us to acquire knowledge that becomes part of our being. When that knowledge becomes part of your being, you do not forget. It's part of you. It's part of your being. When love has been formed in your heart, you do not need to keep on telling yourself, "I must remember to love." When your heart is filled with love, you will love. When your heart is one with God, you do not need to keep reminding yourself, "I must listen to what God has to say." You're constantly seeking Him, constantly wanting to hear what He has to say. Your heart is with Him. Why do we need to keep on reminding ourselves, "God exists, I must be conscious of Him"? That is because we have not yet developed the kind of substance in our being, the kind of knowledge of Him where Christ is formed in us, where the fruit of the Spirit has been abundantly developed in us. We have not sufficiently learned to be partakers of the divine nature. When we do that, the more we do that, the more we will understand that the things we know become part of our being, and we express them in the way we live our lives each day. We find that we do not think as the people of the world. We find that we are not interested in the things that people of the world pursue, because there's a transformation in our heart. Our values have changed within us. Otherwise, we have to keep reminding ourselves, "This way is wrong, that way is right." Well, it is true that this approach is helpful and is important at the earlier stages of our development. There are many things that we need to keep reminding ourselves not to forget. But the more we develop in our oneness with God, the more we will find that we do not need to keep reminding ourselves, because our heart is already constantly with God. We want to follow God because we love Him. We want to know His ways because they are so valuable to us. We do not need people to urge us, to push us, to warn us before we will seek God. We love Him, we keep close to Him, we will follow Him. What do I know? We need to evaluate our lives and consider, what do we know in our lives? What is it that's important to us that we are pursuing, that we are seeking to know? Does it really help us to be more deeply one with God? Does it truly help us in the transformation of our being? If it does, it is good. If it does not, let us not pursue the wrong things. Our time on earth is short. We do not have time to learn everything. We cannot pursue everything. We cannot acquire all knowledge. We need to concentrate. We need to focus on that which is ultimate and true worth. The Lord willing, we'll consider further. What do I know? We look to the Lord to consider further aspects that can help us to evaluate our lives and to appreciate the right approach in this area. Let us, as we come before Him, ask Him to help us to understand the different kinds of knowledge. What is valuable and what is not? What will bring life and what may bring death? What we should concentrate upon, what we should pursue. Let us ask the Lord to show us what is important in His heart. And let us thank Him that not only does He want us to know Him, but He has also made every provision for us so that we can know Him not just at a distance, but know Him personally and deeply. God wants us to have deep freedom to come to Him, to relate with Him, to love Him. He will help us if we are willing to learn. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love each one of us. We thank You that whoever we are, we can know You. None is excluded. If our hearts are right, if we truly want to walk in Your ways. We thank You that You want to teach us and You're prepared to help us. Even if we are slow to learn, as long as you're prepared to repent when we fail, we are prepared to be honest, to seek Your help. We are prepared to change according to Your teaching. We know that You are patient and kind, and that You help us to grow day by day. We ask that in Your grace, You continue to lead us in the path of increasing knowledge of God, that we may know You as You truly are. Help us that we may not derive our knowledge by natural reasoning or by the ways of the world, by our own intelligence and reasoning, but teach us to learn to see beyond the natural to the spiritual, the eternal. To look to You for Your teaching, to have a right heart, that we may know You personally. We thank You for the examples in the scriptures of people who have come to know You deeply, And we pray that you teach us to learn to live likewise. We thank you that you made every provision for us so that it is possible for us, each one of us, to know you in a meaningful way. We thank you that the Lord Jesus suffered for our sake so that we can come to know you in spite of the fact that we have sinned against you. We thank you that we can know your forgiveness. We can receive your life. We pray that you will strengthen us, help us to appreciate you more deeply, help us to keep close to you, to learn from the Lord Jesus, to receive his life, to be transformed, to be like him. We ask that you teach us, that we too, we learn to concentrate on knowing you and living for you, walking in your ways, that we will not be preoccupied with the things of this world, and yet be responsible as you desire us to be, wherever you may place us. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.